Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. Wilbon has the day off, so look who is back on PTI.
Who is that person? Who is he?
Come on.
You know?
Tracy, help me out here.
Did you hear that?
I did.
I need to tell you this. My cousin Marilyn in Florida has watched you on this show and went out of her way to say how much she likes you.
I'm glad someone in your family tree will say that for the record in public. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much, Marilyn.
Marilyn Coffee. She likes you very much. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon apparently doesn't love you like I do. So co-hosting with me today is our great friend from the ESPN Daily Podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. There you go. And we begin today with good news for rich, injured quarterbacks. Dak Prescott threw a real football and real passes, albeit short ones, to Amari Cooper yesterday. Prescott threw these passes with the media watching. And Carson Wentz stood at practice yesterday, 8 days after foot surgery. Wentz did not have a boot on, nor did he limp. Pablo, which team should be more encouraged by the sudden improvement of their quarterback, the Cowboys or the Colts?
It has to be the Colts, Tony, and all of this feels a little ridiculous because, look, it's the preseason, we're body language doctoring everything, but the fact that Carson Wentz is not limping feels like a Kaiser Soze-level revelation for the Indianapolis Colts. He walks away and looks fine, and that seems like a real twist in the plot here. Because what they were gonna do, what they have been doing, is turning to Sam Ehlinger? Like, that's been their solution? They don't know who the backup is. And so as much as the Cowboys make mountains out of molehills, and there aren't hard knocks, it has to be the fact that Carson Wentz might be back in 4 weeks instead of your favorite number, 5-12. That seems like a revelation at this point.
Yeah, It just seems like it was just yesterday when I sat on this program and I said the Cowboys had to be really concerned about Dak Prescott's shoulder strain because he wasn't throwing a real football and he hadn't done it for 2 weeks. And the reason it seems like it was yesterday is because it was yesterday. I sat here and we opened the show with Dak Prescott and I said they had to be truly concerned and they shouldn't say we have absolutely no concerns. Look, throwing soft passes is exactly that. It's throwing soft passes. These are not the kind of passes that you would throw in a game, but it feels like progress with Dak Prescott that he's throwing a real football at all. In terms of Carson Wentz, I tend to agree with you that that is a bigger deal because, as you say, they gave a prognosis of 5 weeks to 12 weeks, which is an enormous spread considering
so
the medical science that we have at our fingertips.
That's right.
So if it is closer to five, that's a big deal. And ultimately, a shoulder sprain can come back like a hamstring strain or something like that. But if you operate and surgically correct a bone in your foot, you would think that would be good to go. But before you jump to the conclusions that I'm saying the Colts have it better, I'm not. And here's why. Because Carson Wentz gets hurt all the time, Pablo. He's been in the league 5 years. In three of those years, he's missed games. Dak Prescott's been in the league 5 years, and only one of those years has he missed games. So the notion that Carson Wentz is just going to sail through here, I can't buy that.
Yeah, look, the bad news for Dak on that statistic is that the year that that happened was last year. The good news for the Colts, suddenly, though, is that they're going to get Carson Wentz. It sounds like, and you're right, everything is very much up in the air still, but it sounds like they'll get him back for week one. And they'll also get Quentin Nelson, the guy who has to protect Wentz because he can't protect himself, also back for week one because he also had the magical 5-12 to now 4-11 weeks off, which is, as you say, a continuous miracle of mathematical coincidence.
So let me just say this, okay?
Yeah.
What makes me happiest is that we're going to have this story around for a long time. Because it's an impactful story, and they are big, important players. And that will keep me from having to pay attention to NBA Summer League, which I do not consider impactful. Go ahead.
Well, that is something that I feel like we'll have to reckon with pretty soon. But for right now, Tony, I want to move to baseball, which I think you do love, because the Rays are now blowing by the Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox blew a 4-1 lead last night and lost 8-4 to the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have now won 6 in a row over the Red Sox and 9 of 11 overall. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have lost 11 of 14. So, Tony, what to you is more interesting here, the rise of the Rays or the fall of the Sox?
So let me be honest. the Tampa Bay Rays are not interesting, nor are they charismatic in any way.
Oh, come on.
Now, it's admirable what they've done. They put together a really good team on really not much money at all. So it's sort of like if you're at an outlet and you find a nice off-the-rack suit and you buy it and you like it, but if then somebody says to you, but I can get you a Zegna suit or I can get you a Canale suit, you're probably going to want to do that. Other than Kevin Cash yanking Blake Snell in the World Series, I don't see a lot of intrigue there. Whereas with Boston, Boston is a more interesting team because Boston is a national brand. Boston, like the Dodgers, like the Yankees, like the Astros recently, people have very strong feelings whether they live near Boston or they don't. And Boston is a team that represents to me wealth and power and privilege. So when they start losing, people are happy. And we know Boston. We see them. They play the Yankees 50 times a month on this network. Everybody knows them. We know their history. We know their triumphs. We know their heartaches. You know, and that's why the Boston thing to me is a bigger deal. I've got this one statistic that is cool. On July 26th, they were 62-39. Now they're 65-50. Which stinks. That's the 3-11 you were talking about. But what do we really know about Tampa Bay other than Tom Brady? And they used to have Burns Steakhouse. Maybe they still do. I don't know.
Well, I genetically, ancestrally want to agree with you and just laugh at the Red Sox here because I am a Yankee fan. I appreciate that the Yankees are just two games back of the Red Sox after a season in which the Red Sox and the city of Boston, that city on a hill, just like to laugh at all of us. I want to do that. But part of me now wants to ride for the Men's Warehouse Rays, Tony, because I do feel like the fact that they're saying, you're going to like the way we look, I guarantee it, and they're doing it again. I mean, talk about a deal, 26th in payroll, the best team in the American League. They were in the World Series last year. I know it's boring. I know it's off the rack, but I have to think there's some beauty in all of that.
I came to praise them. I really did. They've done a great job. They're not just 26th in payroll. They're 27 out of 30 in attendance. They don't even have any fans.
That's
Nobody appreciates
too.
Them. One of the teams below them is Toronto, which spent half the year not even being in Toronto. So nobody, I mean, let's not get nuts here. Again, not charismatic. Last night, oh, God help me, in the NBA Summer League, the number one overall pick, Cade Cunningham, who now plays for the Detroit Pistons, played against the number two overall pick, Jalen Green, who now plays for the Houston Rockets. The Pistons and the Rockets stink. Their combined record last year was 37-107, or what we like to call here, Kurt Rambis coaching territory. Pablo, you're young. You probably stream TV. Is it reasonable to get excited about a summer league game between the Pistons and the Rockets?
Absolutely, Tony. And you know what? I do know that you love me because you haven't walked off the set yet. You're listening to me continue my answer after saying that, yes, in fact, absolutely, excitement was my reaction last night, even though I fall asleep, not totally unlike you these days, somewhere between 9 and 10 p.m. because I have a 16-month-old, and this game started after 9 o'clock. So all of these things are so. But the fact is, Jalen Green is a player I have been waiting my entire life to watch. My ancestral land has been waiting its entire life to get a part Filipino lottery pick who can play like Tracy McGrady. And that's what Jalen Green is doing, Tony. And I think you'd appreciate this about him. He carries so many grudges, and he loves the fact that you can see them. He hates the fact that Cade Cunningham went number one and he went number two, and he says it out loud and he backs it up, and I love him for that on top of every other genetic reason.
You've waited your entire life. This jacket is older than your entire life. Your entire life. Stop it. Okay. Let me make my position perfectly clear. I hate talking about NBA Summer League. I have no interest in it. I have no interest in the dunks that they show all the time on SportsCenter. I have no interest in 75% of the players who will have no impact on the league whatsoever. I have less interest in the NBA Summer League than I do in that winner-take-all million-dollar tournament that I think Jim Boeheim's family won, if I have that correct. And in fact,
tournament.
I said to the producer of this show a couple of days ago, if you put an NBA Summer League story on this show, I will quit the show. And yet here I am talking about the NBA Summer League. Cade Cunningham, I saw him play a few times at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I wondered two things, if he was really good and how come he was at Oklahoma State. Jalen Green, who you love, is a ghost to me. He's a ghost to me. I don't watch G League. I didn't watch it when it was the D League. If it becomes the B League, I'm not going to watch it. If I land on it somehow, I try to count if there are 10 people in attendance. So, you know, I wish them both well. But, Pablo, I think it's going to take at least 3, maybe 5 years for either one of them to play in a playoff game.
Tony, you became Sam Darnold at the end of this segment. You turned Jalen Green into a ghost. I don't know how this happened somehow. I'm more insulted than I thought I would be. That is how this happened. Great. Wonderful.
You shouldn't be. Don't be insulted. Let's take a break. But coming up, Dennis Schroeder bets on himself and it doesn't pay off.
And the Orioles, Tony, are on pace to lose more than 100 games again. So what is the word for that?
I admire so much that you went to Men's Warehouse. You never heard me say this before. You got to Men's Warehouse on Off the Rack. You knew the slogan. I'm awed.
You can get by that. You can get like 16 suits for $100. On some level, everyone has to appreciate a deal of that magnitude.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wait, time to trade words with Pablo. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
Dennis Schroeder agreeing to a 1-year, $5.9 million deal with the Celtics is blank.
My word is comeuppance, and let me give a little backstory here. Dennis Schroeder played for the Lakers last season and was offered during the season a contract extension that would have gotten him about $80 million. And he turned it down, and he bet on himself. And I'm sure he thought there'd be a lot of suitors at the end of the year, and that was a very prideful thing for him to think. And here's what happened. The Lakers went out, they got Russell Westbrook. Dennis Schroeder became irrelevant to them, and he's just another guy in Hollywood with blonde hair now looking for a job. So he takes $5.9 million. And again, I was an English major, not a math major, but I don't think that's anywhere close to $80 million. Maybe the Celtics will play him a lot. Maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll develop a market. But if you ask me who made a better deal here, Schroeder or the Celtics, I would tell you it was the Celtics.
I concur with that opinion, Doctor. I will also add that this, to me, feels like more than just normal run-of-the-mill bad decision-making. It feels like multi-level incrimination. Multi-level incrimination because not only is Dennis Schroeder incriminated in the way you just laid out very logically, also the Lakers are. Because the Lakers, let's recall, happened to have been the team that said, hey, we do want you for $84 million back in March before the trade deadline. And so if I'm a fan of this team, a fan who is otherwise, I think, laughing at Dennis Schroeder for only landing with 5.9, I'm actually worried that I have a team that's run by a guy who wanted to give him $84 million. That does not speak well upon that franchise either, in my humble opinion.
Next.
It's blank that the Orioles have surrendered at least 9 runs in 6 straight games.
It's sad. Let me go through these numbers. Here's what they gave up. 13, 10, 10, 12, 9, 9. They allowed 63 runs. They scored 23. Their record is 38 and 73. They're on pace to lose 107 games. Last 2 full seasons, they lost 108 and 115. This would be 3 full seasons in a row of utter ineptitude. Now, why do I feel sad about this? Not just because nobody knows who's on the Orioles and nobody can name their manager Brandon Hyde. Raise your hand if you had that. But because the Orioles historically, Frank Robinson and Brooks Robinson and Jim Palmer and Cal Ripken and Eddie Murray, they were very good for a very long time. Because they have a really loyal fan base, because Camden Yards is a really nice place to watch a game. You know, and I just think they're not competitive now. I look at ownership as doing the wrong thing, and I wonder if it isn't time for a change in ownership there.
Yeah, to me, Tony, the word is curable, because I understand why all of this is happening, but this is a problem that can be fixed and solved. The reason it's happening is because the Baltimore Orioles are being run by the same guys who ran the Houston Astros. They are tanking, they are rebuilding. I know processes, I know tanking. I understand the logic of that approach. The issue with the logic of that approach, though, is that you're right. It costs lots of people, fans, the sport, entertainment value in the present tense. And so if you want to fix it, which I don't object to, you got to change the rules about draft picks. Don't give the worst team the best prospects. That's what the Orioles are trying to do right now, whether it works in the end or not.
Well, if you don't give the worst teams the best prospects, then the worst teams, it seems to me, stay the worst teams forever and ever. But we'll see. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Clemson starting quarterback lands a big sponsorship. Who didn't see that coming?
And Aaron Rodgers, Tony, gets some bad news on the old career front.
I mean, isn't that how most sports work? They give you the best pick because they want to bring you up. They want the boat to rise.
But then teams that could be better don't want to be better because they realize that if we want to
so
get the
tank.
Next... Exactly. The next Cal Ripken, the next...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Patty Mills. This upcoming season, Mills will go to the Brooklyn Nets as a free agent after spending the last 10 seasons of his 12-year NBA career with the Spurs after Portland drafted him out of St. Mary's in the second round in 2009. Mills is a dependable professional guard who averages 9 points a game for his career. If last season is any indication, Mills will get plenty of time in Brooklyn because Kyrie Irving and James Harden get hurt. Steve Nash will be only the second head coach Mills has had in the NBA in the last 11 years. Greg Popovich coached Mills 10 straight years before that. In the run-up and in the Olympics themselves, Mills played against Popovich as Australia beat the U.S. in an exhibition and lost to them in the semis. Mills helped Australia to its first Olympic men's basketball medal, scoring 42 points as the Aussies beat Slovenia for the bronze. And in that game, Mills outscored Luka Doncic 42-22.
It was absurd, Tony. There are guys like this in the Olympics, though. Ricky Rubio drops 40 because he becomes Michael Jordan as well in international play. But the thing about Patty Mills is that pretty much every team in the NBA could use a guy who can handle the ball and shoot 40% from three. And the Brooklyn Nets, of course, had yet another guy added to their roster who can do just that.
Happy anniversary to a quartet of baseball immortals. On this day 92 years ago, George Herman Ruth hit his 500th home run. The Babe would go on to hit 714 home runs and be considered the greatest slugger of all time. On this day 60 years ago, Warren Spahn beat the Cubs for his 300th win. Spahn would go on to win 363 games, which is the most ever by a left-handed pitcher. On this day 50 years ago, Armin Killebrew hit home runs 500 and 501 off Baltimore's Mike Cuellar, a Cy Young winner. Killebrew would go on to hit 573 home runs. And on this day 41 years ago, Reginald Martinez Jackson hit his 400th home run off Britt Burns of the White Sox. And Jackson would go on to hit 563 home runs. 300 wins and 500 homers have always been the magic numbers in baseball. All these men are in the Hall of Fame.
So, Tony, where does Reggie Jackson rank for you among the great quotes, the great sources that you've had? Because having that guy as an interview subject seems like basically the best thing that could ever happen to a journalist.
Top two. He's top two. Yeah.
Ooh,
Reggie Jackson. Great. Everybody else is one. No, I'm kidding. In fact, in my lifetime, it was Arthur Ashe, who I admired more than I admire any particular athlete before and since. A melancholy trail to Tony Esposito. The Hall of Fame goalie and younger brother of Phil Esposito died yesterday at 78. Tony Esposito came up with Montreal and played 13 games there. But he ended up in Chicago in an intra-league draft, and it was in Chicago where he thrived, playing 873 games and making the playoffs 14 times. In 1970, Esposito's first season with the Blackhawks, he won Rookie of the Year and the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goalie. Esposito recorded 15 shutouts that season, which is still the single-season record. Esposito remains the Blackhawks' leader with 418 wins and 74 shutouts. He won the Vezina two other times, and he was one of the most beloved players ever in Chicago. Both Tony and Phil Esposito were named to the 100 greatest players in NHL history. The best set of brothers is widely discussed across all sports. In hockey, it is generally accepted that only Maurice and Henri Richard rank above Phil and Tony Esposito.
And I love, Tony, that Tony Esposito would put, like, ice shavings in the crease. He would put webbing fishing line underneath himself so that when he went and did splits, he would have extra help. He sort of jerry-rigged his own mask, was a pioneer in that way. A guy who used every available resource, even if it wasn't technically always allowed.
Yeah, and they told him to stop doing it here and there. Let's go to the big finish. Nets GM Sean Marks says he's very confident that Kyrie Irving and James Harden will both agree to extensions before camp. Are you confident?
I am not confident in anything Kyrie Irving says or does, but the White Sox put Carlos Rodon on the IL with left shoulder fatigue. Is that significant?
He had a no-hitter earlier this year. He's 9-5 with a 2.38 ERA. Yes, that is significant. Mark Stein reports the Lakers have considered signing Isaiah Thomas. Which one? And does it make sense?
Yeah, the one with the extra A, the one whose dad grew up a Laker fan, the one who scored 81 at Jamal Crawford's Pro-Am, which is a thing that exists. Clemson quarterback, meanwhile, DJ Uiagalelei signed an endorsement deal with Dr. Pepper. You impressed?
Yeah, first of all, I like those commercials, those Fansville commercials. Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State and Notre Dame and LSU, these quarterbacks are going to make tons of money, tons.
Yes.
Last one, Aaron Rodgers is not the new host of Jeopardy. Are you surprised?
I am not surprised. I am disappointed that apparently my candidacy was not seriously considered, but I guess that guy Mike Richards and Blossom can do a pretty good job. Sure.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out ESPN Daily on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.
Al Serafino's shout-out. He was the medalist through 9 holes today. Ooh.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.